Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Mr. Wonderful at your service. Rosalind Glickman is our guest. Dr. Rosalind Glickman is an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's an international best-selling author, an international expert in the way we think. She is the lady who coined the term optimal thinking. It's become basically a movement all around the world and all the way, even including in Tasmania, ladies and gentlemen. This lady has gotten all over the place, and I'm happy to say she's one of our good friends. Rosalind, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. I'm delighted to be back again.
And you just got back from Australia, didn't you?
I did. I originate from Australia.
Yeah, that's your home.
Yes.
But you live in the United States now.
I do.
Have now since you were six for about the last 20 years, right?
Correct. You got it right, Jim.
Yeah, I do the math pretty well, don't I? So how were things in Australia?
They were wonderful. It was a terrific tour. I did a two-week book tour, and I really got to see how that part of the world is thinking about business from the point of view of China's growth.
Mm-hmm.
And how it impacts that region, and how they relate to America at this stage.
What did you learn?
Well, what I learned was that China is really booming, and you go into any store in China, in Australia, and it's filled with Chinese products.
Yeah.
Just everywhere.
Is that hurting or helping the Australian economy?
Oh, the Australian economy is doing very well. They've got a surplus, you know, their account deficit their balance of payments has been positive for some time, and they've still got a general deficit, but they, you know, they're meeting their budget each year and they're doing well. And they've gone through a property boom, which has settled down now. And optimal thinking was just so well taken up that I'm delighted to tell you they've only got 400 books in the factory now. So I sure like that.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Well, obviously the Australians are very smart people, aren't they?
Of course, considering that... No comment.
Well... But seriously, in terms of, you said, and you also said that you learned a little bit more about how the Australians feel about Americans. Tell us about that.
Well, I think many people are ambivalent about the war. They're wondering why we went in. And I had to answer that on many occasions. And, of course, I said, I'm not the president.
They ask you that a lot, huh?
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not the president, and I'm not privy to the information that they're
privy to. Well, their leader, Mr. Howard, has been a staunch supporter of the United States, hasn't he?
Yes, he got the Woodrow Wilson Award while I was there, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So he's highly esteemed by our current president.
Is optimal thinking different in Australia than it is in the United States? Do they take it up different? Is it easier or more difficult for them to embrace optimal thinking down there than it is here?
No, I really haven't seen any difference. I think the world now has taken or welcomed optimal thinking. Basically, I did a lot of media. I was 2 weeks on tour, and I found that people were just as open there as they are here, and we just sold the Japanese rights, and Spanish translation is becoming available shortly. I believe that the book is now in 13 different languages, and we have close to 13 different translations being compiled right now.
Well, and of course, most of that is because of you've been on the show all these years, right?
That's it. It's all due to Jim Blasingame.
Rosaline,
he does something right once every 3 years.
Sometimes once a year. Rosaline. I was thinking of another international person. Rosaline, let's talk about. Give us the quick 20-second definition of optimal thinking before we go to the break.
It's the language of our best self.
Wow. You got 20 seconds left over.
And it empowers us to be our best and stops us from settling for second best.
And when we come back, Rosaline is going to talk to us about, she's going to help us to understand why just being positive sometimes not only isn't enough, but it actually gets in our way. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. Rosaline Glickman is our guest.
Good night. Now it's time to go home. Then he makes it fast with one more thing.
Little Chicago for you.
You'd be here forever. Another illusion I chose to create.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It comes on Sunday, every Sunday, by email. Get you ready for the week ahead, and I hope you'll also check out all the other things on our website. Thousands of archives, thousands of articles. The blog, Jim's blog, is there too. Or you can go directly to the blog by going to jimsblog.biz. And you can also find out a lot more about Rosaline Glickman. Dr. Rosaline Glickman is a longtime member and a very valuable member of our Brain Trust. She is the author of Optimal Thinking. She has her own website, which I believe, Rosaline, is optimalthinking.com.
You got it right again.
I hope you have a little. Don't you have a little survey, a little test kind of thing we can take there to see whether we're an optimal thinker or not?
Yes, you can rate your level of thinking. It's a complimentary questionnaire, and you can see whether your thinking is in your best interest.
And I hope you'll check that out, folks, because I think this will help you to discover more about yourself. And one of the things that I like, one of the things I like about what you talk about, Rosaline, is you help us differentiate between positive thinking and optimal thinking. You actually say that not only is just being positive not enough, but sometimes it actually can contribute to the problem.
Yes.
How does
there are
work?
Actually five shortcomings of positive thinking, which I enumerate in my book and in my other various resources. And one of them is that there are varying shades of positive thinking, and that the varying shades are not harmonious. For example, the mediocre positive thinker seeks good solutions and is motivated by acceptance, being one of the crowd, being a regular person. The extraordinarily positive thinker is motivated by being more than ordinary, unusually great, outstanding. And they use words like remarkable, terrific, and they look for great solutions, extraordinary solutions. But the optimal thinker is motivated by doing their best regardless of the circumstances. Now, if you put a mediocre positive thinker and an extraordinarily positive thinker together, the extraordinarily positive thinker acts as the energizer to the mediocre positive thinker, who's the wet blanket. The different levels of positive thinking are not harmonious. Now, what will happen when they get together is that the extraordinarily positive thinker will kind of be a little bit annoyed by the mediocre positive thinker and in a way just basically tolerate the mediocre positive thinker and at times really get into big clashes.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never really thought about that. Now let's take a look at their motivations. If one is motivated by being more than ordinary and the other one's being motivated by being ordinary, well, that can really have huge impact in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
the mediocre positive thinker will usually be someone in administration and do very well because they get along with people. They try not to make waves. They try to blend. The extraordinarily positive thinker will usually be the salesperson type.
But don't we need people like the ordinary positive thinker? Don't we need that kind of a person in any company to do the tasks that need to be done, the mundane everyday tasks, and to do them over and over again without making any waves? Don't we need those kind of people?
Right, we do need that. However, when we educate the mediocre positive thinker, the extraordinarily positive thinker, the mediocre negative thinker, the extraordinarily negative thinker, and the totally negative thinker in optimal thinking, then we employ their level of thinking to full advantage. Let me give you an example. Let's say you've got a person who's extraordinarily negative. They are motivated by being different and unusual, but in a negative way. Their motto is, I don't want to be me, and I don't want to be like you.
Right. They don't like anything. They don't even like themselves.
Well, that's it. And the totally negative thinker doesn't like anything. I don't believe I can be successful. Believe you can be successful is the totally negative.
Can that kind of a person be redeemed? Can optimal thinking
redeem
them? Yes.
Well, that's the beauty of optimal thinking. Once we train people, any thinker is trained in optimal thinking, then they can basically use their level of thinking as an optimization signal. Say, I'm thinking in mediocre terms, here's an example, what's the best thing I can do about it?
Mm-hmm.
So in each case, when we employ optimal thinking, after we've thought at a different suboptimal level, we then optimize the situation and we can move on because we can put it to rest. When we choose the best, we can put it to rest. Now let's say, for example, we have a totally negative thinker. This person believes that the situation cannot work under any circumstances. The project mm-hmm. cannot work under any circumstances. Then trained in optimal thinking, they will get that message, hey, this cannot work under any circumstances. But they will then recognize, I am thinking in totally negative terms, which most people do at some stage.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when we do this consistently, and we become, this becomes our dominant level of thinking. But if we're just thinking that way, we can accept it, ask what's causing it, look at our options, and then choose what's best.
Thanks. Stand by, Rosalind. Quick break, folks. 10 till. We've got more optimal thinking with Dr. Rosalind Glickman after these messages. Stay with us. Jerry and the Pacemakers, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't let the sun catch you crying.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And that's a classic. Goes way back, doesn't it? Dr. Rosalind Glickman is too young to remember that song, but she's the author of Optimal Thinking. She is Ms. Optimal Thinking all around the world. And did they have that song in Australia, Rosalind?
They did when I was a very young girl.
You were just in diapers back in those days, weren't you?
Exactly. You're just on my wavelength.
Rosalind, are you still doing your newsletter? You're still doing your Optimal Thinking newsletter, aren't you?
I still am. We have two free newsletters. We have the General Optimal Thinkers newsletter, and then we have the Optimal Thinking Leader, where we basically ask 5 optimal questions. And we have an optimal quotation, and we have an optimal action step for the week, and I answer the community questions.
All right.
And tell them about the latest offerings and events.
Is this the kind of thing that a small business could use your newsletter to train their people to be better, to be more optimal thinkers?
Right, to help them bring optimal thinking into their organization and make it more consistent, because we're all optimal thinkers. Mm-hmm. Some of us do it occasionally. Some of us do it more frequently. But really doing it consistently is the name of the game, so that we can minimize downtime and maximize uptime and maximize the marketplace. That's the only way we're going to maximize the marketplace. That's with optimal thinking. Mm-hmm. Any other claim to maximize ourselves and the marketplace really lacks integrity. And I'm not talking about something that is outside of us. It's something we already do. It's just that many people just do it sporadically, and they get caught up in these, you know, other forms of thinking, or they get caught up in even mediocre or extraordinarily positive thinking, which it might be positive, but it's still not optimal thinking. And apropos, recently we've had this hurricane, Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
And I've been warning against that for a long time, saying that when the cost of failure is high, when the stakes are high and the probability is there, optimism is the wrong strategy. And that's one of the shortcomings of positive thinkers, that they just want to see...
That's a lot of the people in New Orleans, for example, were just optimistic about that they could ride through that thing successfully, weren't they?
Right. And also... It went right up the chain. It went up the chain where,
right.
you know, the newspaper had been warning against the possibility of the levees breaking, and it had gone to Congress, I believe. And
over many years.
Right, and it had, and everyone was focusing on the most probable scenario, that it could be, they built the levee to cater to a Hurricane 3, and they had not protected the worst event scenario with an optimal contingency plan. And that would have been to build a levee that could take a strength 5. And so this is just an example of how erroneous thinking is pervasive in our society, and that we're only correcting it when we get a disaster. And that's why I'm saying, you know, please take heed from this issue. Small businesses must use optimal thinking, not optimism, to protect against flood, fire, and damage, just even to back up your computer
data. So you're saying optimism is a way of thinking in a positive way, but it may not be pragmatic. It may not be realistic. Optimal thinking is being positive about the reality that you have in front of you.
Right. Optimal thinking is more than being positive. Optimal thinking is making the most of whatever the reality is. And when the stakes are high, it is against any company's best interest not to protect against the worst event scenario. You don't drive along the freeway without a spare tire.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got computer data, you don't want to lose your business, then you back it up and you house it on a different premises, etc., etc. And the days of being naive and not protecting against serious, you know, the consequences and catastrophes is just, you know, we've got to get past that.
Rosalind, I got to stop you because we've got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Thanks for another installment of Optimal Thinking, and we enjoyed it very much. See you next time.
Thanks so much.
Dr. Yes. Rosalind Glickman, ladies and gentlemen, Optimal Thinking is her book. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.